Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making a mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day. New hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and
welcome to Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane on 109.9 Penn Station. On this thankful Thursday, I'm giving thanks for the gift of pain. I know that might seem like a strange thing to give thanks for. You might even be wondering if pain can be considered a gift, to which I reply, yes, indeed it can, if used for the purpose it was intended. Pain, discomfort, and uneasiness are all indicators that something is wrong. Where we go wrong is getting so accustomed to pain being in our lives that it becomes a constant companion, something we feel we can't live without. Instead, pain should be an indicator that something is wrong and for us to stop, take a minute, and find out what the source of the problem actually is. Pain means that we're doing something incorrectly, and it is trying to get our attention and tell us to change course. At an interesting patch in my life, I found that I wasn't happy anywhere. Unhappiness, like pain, is an indicator that something is wrong. When I cried out to the Lord about what I felt very unfulfilled in my life about. He answered back that he came to give me the abundant life, and that pain and unhappiness, the pain and unhappiness I was feeling, was his way of letting me know that I was out of position. That conversation was so liberating on so many different levels. It meant that even though I was good at the work I was doing, inside I hated it, and I no longer had to subject myself to that kind of work. It meant that I could look into relocating to an area where I was actually happy and wanted to be, to a place where I felt alive, to a place where I could thrive and not just get by. I could go to a place where everything wasn't a struggle and each step was like going uphill. It meant I could reassess all of my relationships and determine what was working and what wasn't. I could be honest with myself on yet another level and chart a course to get where I wanted to be. And when I told him what I wanted to do that would make me happy and asked for directions, the steps I should take to get there most directly, he answered. And so I'm thankful for the pain, unhappiness, and unfulfillment that ultimately led to the conversation that would help change the course of my life. Tonight, I invite you to do the same. Where you are feeling most unhappy, unfulfilled, or in pain, admit those things to yourself. Give some real thought as to what it would take to reverse where you are, and then just do it. Remember, we are on our quest for the abundant life. It requires that we become truly honest with ourselves and allow our most authentic self to shine through and lead us to our sacred truth, the voice of the Holy Spirit that leads us to that truth. I hope you're having an amazing week. Tonight, we're going to talk about the things we hold on to that get in the way of our becoming the people we were created to be. Unforgiveness. This has got to be one of the biggest tools used against us to keep us out of our rightful place in the kingdom. Let's be very honest. People do some really foul things to each other. The backbiting, the abuse, the slander, stealing, withholding information that's critical to another's progress, controlling others, you name it. And I'm not remotely saying that any of those things are right. They most definitely are not. And it can be very difficult to let go of the injustice that was done towards you, especially when it feels so personal. You find yourself asking, how could this person have done this to me? But forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for us. Allowing ourselves to forgive means that we release ourselves from the bondage that keeps us tied to the offending person. Let me ask you a question. Is anything that a person did worth your not making it into the land that was promised and preordained for you? How bad do you want to see the dream that you have for your life become your reality? The forgiveness is essential in that process. If you are thinking, but I don't know how to forgive that person, just the fact that you're willing to forgive sets you up to be able to forgive. I really believe that the ability to forgive is a supernatural feat that we can't always do alone. Sometimes we need divine help. We agree to the willingness to forgive, and God provides the how. One of the things you can do is to pray blessings on your enemies. I know, I can almost hear your thoughts. Blessings? You want me to bless the people who purposely set out to destroy or hurt me? Tamika, you sound like a fool. After a particularly trying time in my life, I remember being confronted with just that set of instructions. Trust me when I tell you, I was more than a little resistant. The request went over like leaded balloons. I expressed my extreme displeasure at the request to God, rolling my eyes and begrudgingly began the process. Side note, he never said I had to like it. He only said I had to do it. Through the act of submitting to his request, something supernatural happened. The more I prayed for that person, the more godly love I felt for him. Soon I didn't mind praying, and somewhere in the back of my mind was always the thought that hurting people hurt people, and they hurt themselves, too. Obviously, this was a person in need of healing, even as much as I was. Praying didn't take away my pain. That was its own process I had to go through in order to release it. However, praying did stop me from becoming a dead sea, where nothing of value could come out. We're going to reference some scriptures this evening, and the first one is Matthew 6:12, where it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." So when I expound upon that a little bit, that's part of the what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer, but it's really like the ideal, like the model prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so if we want to stand in a place where we can receive forgiveness, then we have to also be willing to forgive others, because none of us is perfect. So, you know, even whether it's by mistake or purposely done, we hurt people, you know, we do things against others. And so we would have to be in a position to be able to be forgiven by someone. And so it's kind of reciprocal. You know, you give it and you get it. Matthew 6:14 says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And so I don't know about you, but I certainly need divine forgiveness when I fall short. You know, so if the prerequisite for me being able to be forgiven is that I have to first forgive, then I guess I need to go ahead and just do that. And like I said, forgiveness is not an easy process. It just isn't, but it is necessary. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 32 reads, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So we can see that forgiveness is a really big part of the process, and it's hard to do. It can really be a difficult thing to do, especially, you know, I mean, some stuff, you know, it's like it's easy. You know, you know, somebody crosses you in line, or, you know, you call out your name, or half of that dang goes off on you. You know, you can kind of forgive that stuff. It might be a little bit harder to be able to, you know, forgive someone who has maybe, you know, hurt one of your loved ones, or, you know, perhaps murdered someone, or, you know, who has, like, you know, abused a child, or who has abused you, and it feels like some sort of physical assault on your person or something like that. Those things are harder to forgive. But it does take the same level of willingness, you know, to be able to forgive a large infraction as it does to be able to forgive something that is small. And all of it takes, you know, a willingness to be able to do it. And also that you would have divine strength to be able to forgive. So I'm right now thinking about, you know, when Jesus was on the cross after they had, you know, beaten him and, you know, put a crown of thorns on his head and put, you know, drove nails through his hands, and there were the two men who were on crosses on either side of him, you know, and the one said, you know, when you make it to glory, you know, remember me. And his parting words, Jesus' parting words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And in truth, they really don't know what they do, because if they understood that the seeds that we sow into the lives of others, and the things that we do for others are things that we pour right back onto ourselves, truly they don't understand what it is that they are doing, and because they would think better of it and would choose a different route to take, you know, than some of those actions that are so offending. But so that you are not becoming a dead sea. And what I mean by that is you know, things are able to pour into you, but nothing gets out. Like, nothing is able to actually live in the Dead Sea when you kind of go and do some research on it, you know. The salt content of those waters, it's so high, nothing can live there. And so we, as we are in our process and we are, you know, just going, kind of going about the daily living of just, you know, being and doing and all that, we don't want to become a dead city. We want to be able to be like living waters that that the Spirit can just, you know, flow through. And so, you know, whether that is you just being like an empty pipe, you know, where he can just, you know, pour through you, or, you know, you being able to speak life into somebody else, you know, all of those things are important. And we maintain our ability to be able to do so by keeping ourselves, you know, free and empty. And usually we don't think so much about the things that we've done, but, you know, none of us is perfect, and so we all fall short, and we have all been in need of forgiveness, and so because of that, we also need to be able to forgive. The next thing I have on the list, then, would be pride. And pride is a sneaky little spirit. If you're just tuning in, this is Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane, and we are talking tonight about the things that get in the way of our being able to live our best lives and our best selves. And the first thing we talked about was the need for forgiveness. You know, that's not, it's not just a simple request, it's a requirement. In order for us to be able to, you know, get where we want to go, having unforgiveness in your heart can actually, like, block the flow of blessings, even being able to get to you. It literally just cuts things right off. And so the scripture references that we had for the evening were Matthew 6:12, Matthew 6:14, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 32. And in scripture we see that we are told that, you know, if we have to forgive others if we want to be forgiven, and we have to forgive others if we expect forgiveness of the Father to be able to manifest in our lives too. So now we will talk about pride some. And pride is a sneaky little spirit that disguises itself in so many ways. It's entirely possible to be in pride and not know it, because it doesn't always look the way we think that it will. And because of this, pride is an area where we should be searching ourselves constantly and asking God to reveal any hidden pride that's in our lives on a regular basis. Some of the ways that pride presents itself is being puffed up and arrogant. Pride says, see me, hear me. Pride says, I am important. I am important. Pride also comes across as an unwillingness to learn from others, and an unwillingness even to learn from God. It says, I know everything. It says, I must prove my point. How many times have you, you know, known someone who would just beat it down to the core, just will not let it go, because they have got to prove their point. Pride says, I am not wrong. It feels justified in its actions. Pride even says, I am nobody, or I am nothing. How can we call ourselves nothing when we were not our own creator? And if God says that we are somebody, then how are we, in our opinions, more important than what it is that he sees of us? So that would be, you know, one of those little sneaky ways that pride would kind of come in and, you know, and be telling you that you are less than who you were created to be. So we know that, you know, God is perfect and he didn't make us, and so it's not possible for us to be, you know, less than perfect beings when that's how he created us. And when he was done with creation, he didn't say, let me put it back in the oven. He said, it is good. So, you know, we can rest assured in that, you know, who we are, it's just fine. You know, we're not perfect, but we are perfect creations. So, and he's never asking for us to be perfect, okay? Pride says, I am better than you, or it says, I am less than you. Pride says, I don't need to yield to the Spirit of God. Pride says, I can do what I want to do. Pride says, I am above the law. Pride says, I am equal to God. Pride says, I don't need to change. I am sure there are even more ways that pride presents itself. Scripture is very clear that pride is something that God strongly dislikes. In Proverbs 13:10, it reads, "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19 read, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he be puffed up with pride and fall into the same condemnation as the devil." 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 reads, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7 reads, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." We certainly do not want the God of all heaven and all of earth to resist us. After all, he is the God who opens doors that no man can shut, and he also closes doors that no man can open. We do much better to have him as an ally and not as an enemy. And so, you know, and talking about this, you know, this pride, it's an ugly thing, you know, and sometimes we can recognize that person is in pride, and then other times we're just not really able, you know, to recognize that. Sometimes it's easier to recognize self in other people than it is, you know, to recognize it, you know, in ourselves. But we do know that if we want to get where it is that we're going, then we have got to get the stuff out of the way that would interfere with our being able to get there. If you are wondering how this ties to, like, the abundant life message, you know, everything that we have been laying over the last, 8 or 9 weeks, however many weeks it's been now, has been foundational in being able to, you know, get you set on the right course so that you know exactly what it is that you're doing. It makes no sense to, you know, have all these new things coming and operating if all your old mindsets and all the old stuff and gook that's gotten in the way previously is still there. All that stuff would just get in the way, and then you would not be able to hold on to the new thing that's actually happening in your life right now. So this process is absolutely necessary in order for you to be able to get to the fullness of where it is that you're trying to go. And there are no shortcuts. You know, we just have to just keep it moving. And this night, though, I felt the need that we would have to lift up this situation of all these things that are kind of in the way before the Lord in prayer. So I'm going to pray for us. Father God, we come before you, emptying ourselves out in your presence. We know that you alone hold our future in your hands, and we also know that it is you who gives us the ability to get wealth. Your word clearly says that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We yield ourselves to you tonight, right now, and say, "Search us, O Lord, and reveal any wicked way that is in us. It profits us nothing to gain the world but lose our souls," and so we take out anything that is unpleasing in your sight. Renew our hearts and give us a heart that yearns for righteousness, upstanding, and equality. Give us hearts that yearn after you. Thank you for loving us enough to bring the truth to us and to help us deal fully and honestly with what you reveal. We thank you for your grace, and we repent for unforgiveness and pride that has separated us from you. We empty ourselves and say yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. We willingly release the need we have for holding on to pride and unforgiveness one moment longer. We give those things to you. You know the circumstances and the hearts of all the parties who have wronged us, but your word says that vengeance is yours and you shall repay. We choose to trust you with the handling of each and every infraction that has been placed on us. and we release ourselves from the pain and disappointment from those situations. We yield ourselves to your plan and know that you will see us to where it is that we are trying to go. When you handle it, it is a complete work, far more than anything we can do. So we say, it's yours. Take it and heal us. Thank you for hearing our prayer and knowing our hearts and for being the one constant we can always count on. We stand in faith knowing it is already done. And for our obedience, we ask that you open up the doors that our sin and iniquity have kept us closed to. We thank you for immediate breakthroughs and manifestation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just really felt the need to lift up in prayer, this night. And so because right now, as we are dealing with like these final steps of everything it is that we have been learning, you know, like this is the critical stuff here. And so we have learned things like, okay, we need to have a positive confession and we need to put our mouths in the direction that we want our lives to go, and we literally need to speak ourselves into a great place. And so if our mouths have the power to take us where we want to go, then we need to make sure that our mouths are speaking us into something good, not into something bad. And so we know that we need to do that. We know that we have got to define the areas of our lives where we are in poverty and where there's a lack of abundance. We have to define those things so that we can chart a course and get ourselves where it is that we want to go. We know that it is necessary to surround ourselves with people who are supportive and uplifting and encouraging. We know that it is necessary for us to, have things that we can see, like with our vision boards and things like that. You know, we've got to be able to have something to be able to motivate us and to see it and to be able to recall it, and we need the time and we need to take time to be able to, you know, just step back and really just get into a meditative state where we can really kind of process, ask ourselves stuff like, you know, well, what does it feel like and what does it sound like and what does it smell like and what does, you know, what does it look like when it has actualized? And so and we need to be able to evoke the feelings that we want to have at the time that we are in the midst of the manifestation that we're looking for. The feeling is very important. If you can tap into the feeling as much as you can tap into the feeling, you have an easier time being able to draw and bring those things, you know, to yourself through the law of attraction. And so, you know, those things are important. We know that, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about writing the vision and making it plain, because sometimes things tarry. It just takes longer than you think it's going to take. And when you are feeling distraught and you're feeling tired and you are burdened and let down and you don't know how you're going to be able to make it, you've got to have something to be able to refer to keep yourself going. You know, each one of us has something that the Lord has spoken over our lives, and He has given us dreams and visions and has told us, you know, things and has made promises and stuff to us, but He never said that it was going to happen overnight. And so, you know, while you are in your process of waiting on the stuff to manifest, you have got to be able to keep yourself encouraged and keep yourself going. And so we know we've got to do all of those things, and each one of those steps is absolutely necessary, you know, and important. You need to know what it is that you actually want. You know, you got to look yourself in the face and ask yourself the hard questions and, you know, see what it is that you've been holding on to that's been in the way, so that you can release stuff. And so those things are very important. And so, you know, we talked about getting new wineskins, and that if you pour new wine into old skins, it actually causes the skin to burst, and how you don't put cloth that's not been shrunk inside of the other cloth, because it will rip, and then you won't even be able to hold on to the garment. And so this is all a part of your getting new wineskins, and getting out all of that old stuff so that you actually have your a vessel that is equipped to be able to receive the changes that are going on. And it is important that we be equipped. We know that, whom he calls, he qualifies. And so, you know, we have, you know, the assurance of that. But there are times when we have work that we have to do. And so many times we're waiting on God to do his part, but he's waiting on us to do ours too. And so right now, this is our part. You know, this is us looking ourselves in the mirror and just standing there naked before the Lord and just saying, you know what, okay, you know, just show me and let me see myself and let me be really genuine and authentic with where I am, where I've been, how I feel, what I want, where am I going. And that authenticity, you know, requires that we just be honest, blatantly honest. And so many times we struggle with that level of honesty, but it's necessary. And so that's where we find ourselves now, even. You know, we just, that's the place where we are. We just are saying, okay, Lord, you know, here I am. You know, just strip me there and let me see what's there and let me see what it is that I need to work on. And none of this is supposed to be a process that is meant to tear you down. Instead, it's supposed to be something that builds you up and encourages you and keeps you, you know, heading in the right direction and going. And his way of letting you know, hey, I am for you, not against you. You know, he's not, you know, raining down judgment. He's trying to be there to help you, you know, so that you can actually have what it was that you were created for. If you are just tuning in, this is Living Abundantly with Tanika Patrice Kane, and tonight we are just talking about all the things that get in the way of our being able to have the life that was promised to us, and the things that get in the way of our being able to live the abundant life. And so we talked about the need, the absolute need to forgive, and we've talked about how pride gets in the way and our need to get pride out of the way, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, and all of us could use more grace. We don't need any more stuff coming against what it is that we're already doing. And I'm going to just go over the scripture passages once again, references anyway. Once again, Matthew 6:12, Matthew 6:14, Ephesians 4, verses 20-32. Those are the ones that we used for unforgiveness. And then for pride, we have Proverbs 13:10, Proverbs 16, verses 18 and 19, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. So if you can kind of go back and, you know, just spend some time, you know, just really kind of meditating on those scriptures and letting him just really, you know, just talk to you and just, you know, show you, you know, where you are and where it is that you need work. So, you know, we're just emptying ourselves out because it's necessary, and we really want to be able to be the people that he's created us to be, and we want to be able to have good seeds to sow, and we can't do that with all that stuff in the way. There's that scripture that talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what you really feel and what's really going on inside? Start talking. Just start paying attention to the things that are coming out your mouth. That'll tell you exactly where you are. You know, that'll tell you, you know, if you are angry or bitter, or if you are a person who never really has anything nice to say to anybody or towards anybody or about anybody. You know, all those things are important, because if you have that kind of negativity, you know, going on inside, it's reflecting outside, and it's actually stopping the flow of blessings from coming into your life, you know. And I know it doesn't always seem like, you know, people who have done wrong stuff, you know, have to pay for the things that they've done. But the truth is, they do. Repayment doesn't always look like what we think it's going to look like. It could really look like so many other things. But, you know, at some point, we have to give account. And so, you know, we're not just out there just living haphazardly, you know. I mean, he gives us time to kind of come to our senses on our own, but sometimes we don't. And then, you know, we do end up in a situation where there's judgment and, you know, correction and discipline and things like that. And usually before God starts putting your business out there for somebody else to be checking you about, he's already told you himself, you know, numerous times. You know, he's not a gossip, so he's not just out there just running his mouth about stuff going on with you. And so, you know, if people are coming to you now checking you about you, it's because you're in disobedience. He's told you to do some stuff, and you have refused to do what he's told you to do, and it's costing you. Whether you know it or not, it's costing you. You are losing out on stuff. You are paying a cost for that disobedience, even though it may look like, you know, everything's going, you know, great. If you really stop and ask them, all right, Lord, show me, you know, what has my disobedience cost me? You know, you'd be surprised, like, oh, really? Wow, okay, I really never thought that, you know, that I was doing that. I thought I was doing what I wanted to do, you know. But when you have received instruction and you have chosen to not follow the instructions that were given, you know, then you are in rebellion. And then that kind of ties in with the pride stuff again, because, you know, pride says I don't have to, you know, it says I know everything. I can do what I want to do, you know, but we know that we can't do that. We are vessels of the living God, and our lives are not our own, even though, like, you know, he has given us the gift of life. He has given us gifts, even, you know, and we utilize those gifts, and we are stewards of those gifts, and it's wonderful and amazing when we're able to use those gifts the way we, you know, the way that he intended. But sometimes we just forget that, you know, we're just stewards. We don't own anything. And so with our not owning anything, that means that we can't just do with the gifts what we want to do with them. We have to do what it is that we've been instructed to do. And so sometimes we get in the way, and we're just in disobedience. And so, you know, and the longer he's talking to you about something, and the more you are refusing to do what it is that he has told you to do, the harder your heart actually gets, you know. And, you know, a hardened heart isn't good. Of course, we never want to be in a situation where he just gives us over to our own desires. We never, ever want that, because we have no promise of grace at that point, you know. And you're literally just at his mercy, you know. And so, and sometimes, you know, you are protected, and sometimes you're just not. And so when you are receiving instructions of stuff like, you know, leave where you are, you know, that's not, it's not a suggestion. He's not, you know, asking your opinion about it. He's telling you for your own good, get out of where you are. You know, there's a reason. There's reasons for it. And so, you know, it may be difficult. And sometimes you have to cry your way through stuff. And he never, ever said that we were going to like all the things that he was asking us to do. He just promised that he would be there. And so it's much better to be with him and have his protection and covering than to just be your own thing and just open to whatever it is that the enemy wants to throw your way, because you have no covering. You have no covering. And so, you know, all this stuff just gets in the way. And so, but we've said that we were going to do this authentically. That meant we were going to be honest about where we were and where our shortcomings were and where we have fallen short, you know. And this is not a conversation that you necessarily have to have with somebody else, but it's definitely a conversation you need to have with yourself, and it's definitely a conversation that you need to have with the Lord, because he's giving instruction. And the truth is, we need that instruction. We need that direction. We need the correction. You know, we need all those things, because he sees, my friend says, oh, yeah, he sees around corners. I love that. He sees around corners. And so he can see the things that we're not able to see while we just continue to just sit there. And the truth is, we never really know when the axe is going to fall, because if you have been instructed to do something and you're still just stuck in where you are, you just don't know when that grace is going to lift and the axe is going to fall. And you just don't want to be under the knife like that. You know, it's just, it's too high of a price to pay. And, you know, while we can do what we want to do, we never get a chance to determine what the outcome is going to be, or the penalty is going to be for our rebellion and for our disobedience. We never get to determine that. And so I don't know about you, but that's a little scary for me. You know, I would rather just, you know, be mad and do what he tells me to do than put myself in a position where I could literally be, you know, hurt or killed, or, you know, have everything just stripped away from me. The price is just too high. And so, you know, if you are in that place where you're still just doing what you want to do, you know, now is probably the time you should, you know, fall on your knees or lay prostrate before him and just repent. Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You're just running amok and doing what I want to do. But thank you that you have covered me to this point. But I'm going to stop doing what I want to do, and I'm going to obey, because I know that my protection is in that obedience. Obedience is through sacrifice, is what Scripture tells us. Obedience is necessary. And he says that he knows that we love him through our obedience. How powerful is that, huh? He knows that we love him through our obedience. And so, you know, he needs to know that you love him. You know, we know that he loves us, and we should know anyway. I mean, sometimes it's hard to really know that he loves us when there's so many things that happen and we're just subjected to all kinds of stuff. But he does love us, and, you know, and he makes your provisions and things available to us. And even if you feel like you can't do it on your own, you can really be honest with him and say, you know, Lord, I know that you're talking to me and telling me to do this thing, and I'm really struggling with obeying you right now. The truth is, I just don't want to do it. I do not like what you're asking me to do. I do not want to give up what it is that you're telling me to give up. But I know that it's for my greater good. So, you know, through these tears, through this, you know, laying out of here I am, you know, Lord, you know, show me, deal with me, whatever, you know, he will give you the strength to be able to do it. And then that's the same supernatural thing that happens when you need to forgive someone who has just completely wronged you. The same, when you're willing to do it, then he just brings his supernatural power behind your willingness and just makes it available and able for you to do it. And this is no different. So if you are struggling with whatever it is that he's asking you to give up and you just don't want to do it, and you're honest with him about, Lord, I just don't want to do it, he will help you to be able to do what he's asking you to do if you just say, Lord, okay, I surrender, I submit, I will obey, I will do what you told me to do. And so I was reading a book called Unrelenting Prayer by Bob Sorye, and I wanted to share a passage of text from the book that I found to be very profound. It reads, "We may tend to think of justice in a very narrow way, such as punishment for a crime, but justice is a far-reaching term, as wide in its scope as every conceivable form of evil. Even as injustice afflicts men and women in virtually every arena of life, justice is the righteous answer to every wrong. When justice comes to sick, there is healing. When justice comes to poverty, there is provision. When justice comes to infirmity, there is wholeness. When justice comes to loss, there is restoration. When justice comes to torn relationships, there is reconciliation. When justice comes to anarchy, there is order. When justice comes to imprisonment, there is release. When justice comes to reproach, there is vindication. When justice comes to rejection, there is acceptance. When justice comes to abuse, there is comfort. When justice comes to prejudice, there is equity. When justice comes to oppression, there is liberty. When justice comes to slavery, there is freedom. When justice comes to tyranny, there is compassionate leadership. When justice comes to crime, there is punishment. When justice comes to wrong, there is right. When justice comes to indebtedness, there is repayment. When justice comes to destruction, there is reparation. When justice comes to calamity, there is relief. When justice comes to hunger, there is nourishment. When justice comes to weariness, there is rest. When justice comes to fear, there is peace. When justice comes to violation, there is dignity. When justice comes to barrenness, there is fruitfulness. When justice comes to abortion, there is protection for the unborn. When justice comes to darkness, there is light. When justice comes to pain, there is alleviation. When justice comes to blindness, there is sight. When justice comes to dysfunction, there is health. When justice comes to loneliness, there is companionship. When justice comes to depression, there is joy. When justice comes to anxiety, there is confidence. O Lord, receive my just claim and get justice for me from my adversary. That was a passage from Unrelenting Prayer by Bob Sorge. I thought that was so profound. I just had to share that one. I'm actually going to post that one on my fan page after the broadcast. So, you know, I just hope that you are, you know, getting what it is that you need, you know, each week, and that you are feeling freer. You know, he came to give us liberty. The price has already been paid. You know, he's already paid it. So there, all we have to do is just walk it out. So I hope that you are finding what it is that you are in need of. I know we just have a few minutes left, but if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane on 109.9 Penn Station. And tonight we've been talking about the things that get in the way of our being able to live the authentic and best and abundant life that the Lord has promised and made available to us. So we were getting unforgiveness and pride out of the way, because those were two major hindrances that are used, you know, against us to get in the way. And we know that we have got to get pride out of the way, because God resists the proud, and we can't be in a position where we are being resisted by the Lord. I mean, you know, if he's not for you, you know, then you don't stand a chance. And so we can't be in a position where we are being resisted, you know, by him. But he says that he gives grace to the humble. And I don't know about you, but I certainly could use as much grace as possible. You know, grace kind of makes things happen. And, you know, grace is more valuable than money, believe it or not. You know, let's say that again. Grace is more valuable than money. And so, and then we talked about the need for forgiveness, because if we don't forgive, then we won't be forgiven. And so we are imperfect beings, and we mess up all the time. And so we need forgiveness, and so we need to be able to give that forgiveness to others. And so with pride and with unforgiveness, we need to just repent before the Lord and just, you know, just be willing to change our ways. And if we feel like we don't know how to do that, we can just say, Lord, I'm willing, but I need your help. You know, and he will rise up to help you to be able to, you know, to be able to forgive and to be able to live in humility. And so, you know, both things are very important. And so, and if you missed the passage that I read from Bob Sorge from the book Unrelenting Prayer, you can catch that on my Facebook fan page, and that is Tamika Patrice Kane. And so for those of you who are interested in following me on Twitter, you can do so at Tamika Patrice, or on Facebook, it is Tamika Patrice Kane. That's T-U-M-I-K-A, Patrice, P-A-T-R-I-C-E, Kane, C-A-I-N. You may access my website, which is www.tamikapatrice.com for more information on my novel, Season of Change, which is available in hard copy and all ebook versions. The hard copy sells for $13, and the ebook versions, and that's Nook and Kindle and all the Apple I stuff, and you know, whatever. all those ebook versions is available in all of them. And downloads are only $1.99. So if you have not downloaded your copy, be sure to do that, and then tell somebody else to do it too. So you may also opt in to receive my newsletter, and you can contact me directly on the website. And again, the website was www.tamikapatrice.com, www.tumikapatrice.com. And so we are going to just go ahead and finish up. But the more that I'm on this journey, the more that I learn that there are no shortcuts to where we're going. And you know what? It's okay. If we want the life of our dreams bad enough, we'll be willing to do the work. The process might not be comfortable right now, but if you just walk through the pain and discomfort of this season, you'll be healed on the other side, and those things will no longer be able to plague you or affect your life as they have up to this point. There's that. We talk about like the definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. But we are not people who are insane. We have full faculties, and all of our faculties and stuff intact, and so we are certainly not the insane. And so we know that in order for our lives to change, we have to, well, change. And so this is our process, and we are right here on that journey, just, you know, just plugging away and just doing it a piece at a time. And so, you know, the fact that you are tuning in, you know, speaks volumes, and that you are willing to make some changes. And so, you know, I just hope that you remember that you are worth the effort that it takes to get to a place of not being just whole, but complete. And I hope that you know that you are loved without measure. Find someone to encourage. Someone out there needs to know that they can make it through, and your words just might be the very balm that they need to press right on through and to be able to keep going. We just never really know. You know, when you get that stray thought, you know, to tell this person, oh, you know, you're beautiful, or, you know, I really admire this thing about you, or, you know, you look very nice there, you have a great smile, or, you know, whatever that stray thought is, you know, it sometimes requires that we press on through our comfort zone and just say it anyway. You know, I really believe that a lot of times we're just like, oh, what's that person going to say? You know, we fear rejection. You know, how is that person going to respond? You know, how do you call somebody you feel you have hurt or whatever and be like, I'm sorry, you know, or, you know, how do we pick up and go on from here when I made a mistake? How do we fix it, you know? But we need to push past the fear of rejection, Someone had just said something to me recently about fear being an acronym for false evidence appearing real. So we're just pushing past the fear. And so, you know, just go ahead and just do it. And you just never know what's on the other side of it. You know, if by chance, you know, it's not the result that you're wanting, well, you know, at least you can say you did it and you have nothing left unresolved. You know, but if by chance, you know, if you don't take the step and you don't put something out there, then it never fixes itself. You know, you've got to be willing to just take the chance, you know. And maybe you need to just have a little faith, you know, in the person that you're reaching out to, you know, that your love will never fail. I'm going to say that again, that the love that you two have for each other just won't fail. And you'll be able to just make it right and go on, you know, almost as if nothing has ever been, you know. But, you know, so find somebody to encourage, you know. You know there's something in you that's burning that needs to be said, and you need to say it. Not think it, not wish it, not just pray about it, you know, not write letters to yourself. You need to go ahead and just pick up the phone, make the call, and say what you need to say. You might be surprised at the results. So on that note, I'm going to go ahead and just end it. As always, remember, make each day a great day on purpose, and good night.